Well, hey now, saints, sinners, backsliders, and even the banjo pickers. You've tuned into the Semi-Seminary and the Gospel Broadcast where the Book of Revelation shares a pew with a beat-up Gibson. The old preacher's voice sometimes sounds like a busted jukebox spinning grace and grit in equal measure. And today's message, it ain't for sunny skies. It's a thundercloud in 4-4 time. A spiritual weather report for a fractured world where diving headfirst into Bob Dylan's 1963 apocalyptic psalm, A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall. But listen, the song isn't just a song about what's coming. This is a song about what already is, a modern-day Jeremiah standing in the rubble with nothing but a harmonica and holy fire. This is theology with blisters on its feet. And I'll just go ahead and tell you here in the intro, here's how I see it. Imagine the prophet, not just Dylan, but Jeremiah, or Isaiah, or Joel, or Amos, walking back home after delivering judgment, say, in the marketplace. His cloak still damp from the storm of vision. And he sits down at the kitchen table. His mama puts a plate of food in front of him and says, "Where have you been, baby? What'd you see? What'd you hear? Who'd you meet? What are you going to do now?" And the prophet leans back in his chair, eyes burning with the ache of all he's carried. And he says, "Mom, do you really want to know? Okay, here's the truth." And that's what this song is. It's the response of the one who's seen way too much to stay quiet. It's prophetic lament wrapped in blue-eyed innocence and dirt road grit. It's Bob Dylan, yes, but it's more than that. It's the echo of every prophet who ever stood between God and a broken people, pointing out the ruin and refusing to look away. We're not just listening to Bob Dylan, we're walking beside him, we're exegeting his lament, just like we unpack a parable. So we're going to look for God's fingerprints in the ash and ask, what does it mean to still believe in mercy even in the midst of the sky falling? I'll see you on the other side. So here we go. First question, where have you been? Dylan says, "I've stumbled on the side of 12 misty mountains." This is Moses territory right off the bat. Exodus 24 and 18. "Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and as he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights." The prophet begins in the fog. Revelation comes, but not at all at once. And Dylan admits there's stumbling involved. He says, "I've walked and I've crawled on 6 crooked highways." Luke chapter 3 and 5 says, "The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth." Now, these highways aren't just inconvenient, they're unjust. Dylan's not strolling down Main Street, he's scraping his knees on the paths of systems that were never built for nor intended for barefoot. He says, "I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard." Ezekiel 37 and 2 says, "He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry." This graveyard isn't a metaphor, it's a memory. War dead, forgotten souls. And the prophet doesn't report from the edge, he's 10,000 miles into the loss. This isn't a distant chronicle. This is embodied theology. Dylan's the blue-eyed son, yes, but he's also the crucified Christ walking willingly to get into Gethsemane. The next question, what did you see? Dylan says, "I saw a newborn baby with wild wolves all around it." Isaiah 11 and 6, "The wolf will live with the lamb." Dylan's flipping Isaiah. The dream of peace has been deferred. This, Dylan's world, isn't Eden. It's exposure. And injustice doesn't wait for you to grow teeth. It's a portrait of innocence under siege, of vulnerable life already surrounded by systemic threat. Whether that's poverty or racism, war zones where infants cry with no cradle to hold them. He said, I saw a highway of diamonds with nobody on it. Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy. A road paved with diamonds ought to be the height of prosperity, but it's empty. That's the bitter irony of global capitalism, wealth stockpiled, not shared. This is colonial loot turned infrastructure that no one even walks on. It's Congo's mineral wealth that builds smartphones but never feeds the hands that mine it. It's the American dream boarded up in the heart of the richest nation on earth. He said, I saw a black branch with blood that kept dripping. John 15:6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. But here the branch bleeds. This is the crucifixion tree, the lynching tree. The tree planted by empire instead of streams of water. It bleeds because the world never got around to stop crucifying. It's Trayvon's hoodie. It's Emmett's tree. It's a nation that cannot claim peace until it deals with its own blood-soaked roots. He said, I saw 10,000 talkers whose tongues were all broken. Isaiah 6:5. Woe to me. I am a man of unclean lips. This is Babel after the broadcast era. Voices everywhere, but none that heal. Everybody's talking, but nobody's listening, right? Words are divorced now from wisdom. Twitter prophets with no truth. Influencers with no integrity. Sermons that inspire, but they don't convict. It's a cultural noise machine where meaning gets lost in static. Dylan continues. He said, I saw guns and sharp swords in the hands of young children. His contemporary Joel 3:10, beat your plowshares into swords. But Dylan doesn't see forged swords. He sees inherited ones. He sees passed down trauma packaged as patriotism. It's the school to prison pipeline. It's toy soldiers becoming teenage conscripts. It's the legacy of systemic violence that teaches children to fight before they ever learn to feel. We've made violence a rite of passage, and that blood runs upstream. What did you hear? Dylan said, I heard the sound of a thunder roared out a warning. Revelation 10:3, he gave a loud shout like the roar of a lion. Thunder in Hebrew is often divine voice, not suggestion, command. No, not opinion, the truth. Dylan hears it. Do we? He said, I heard 10,000 whispering and nobody listening. Amos 8:11, not a famine of food, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's a noise to silence. When the marginalized speaks and no one listens, injustice doesn't continue, it compounds. He said, I heard one person starve. I heard many people laughing. Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered. This is moral indictment. Not just the hunger part, which is bad enough, but the mockery of the hunger. Not just of poverty, but of performance. He said, I heard the song of a poet who died in the gutter. Lamentations 2 and 9, or prophets also find no vision from the Lord. It's not just that the prophet died, it's that he sang anyway, even in the gutter, even with nobody clapping. And then the question, what will you do now? And the prophet's response, I'm going back out for the rain starts a-falling. James 1 and 22, do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Dylan, the prophet, the narrator, doesn't retreat. He returns, not to comfort, but to calling. Before the storm finishes, he's already moving. He says, I'll walk to the depths of the deepest black forest. Psalm 23 and 4, even though I walk through the very valley of the shadow of death, not tiptoe, not dance, walk. The work is in the walking, going where the gospel needs it most. Where hunger is ugly, where souls are forgotten. Matthew 25, 35 and 36, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Dylan's gospel is incarnational. It doesn't preach from pulpits. It shows up with soup. It sits down and it remembers the forgotten. And I'll tell it and I'll think it and I'll speak it and I'll breathe it. Jeremiah 20 and 9, his word is in my heart like a fire. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, Jeremiah says, I cannot. You don't have to force real prophecy. It leaks out. It burns holes in your silence. And then Dylan says, but I'll know my song well before I start a singing. Colossians 3 and 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is theology as testimony. You can't sing what you haven't lived. And once you've lived it, you can't not sing. So, may the thunder wake you. May the rain cleanse you. May the words of the prophets burn like coal on your lips. And may you, like Dylan's blue-eyed son, walk back into the storm, knowing your song well before you start a-singing. So what do we do with all this, friends? Well, we remember where it started. At that kitchen table, a prophet sits soaked from the storm. A mother asks the simplest questions in the world. Where have you been? What did you see? What did you hear? Who did you meet? What do you do? And Dylan, just like Isaiah, just like Jeremiah, doesn't flinch. He doesn't protect her from the pain. He says, you want the truth? Here's the truth. And you know what? That's our calling too. To speak it, to sing it, to breathe it. To walk into the broken places and reflect it from the mountain so all souls can see it. Not from the safety of this podcast studio or the pulpit or the back pew, but from the depths of the deepest black forest, where the people are many and their hands are all empty. This isn't just a hard rain. This is a baptism of burden. But the truth is, the prophet doesn't wait for the rain to stop. The prophet walks into it. Maybe that's what Dylan meant all along. You don't start singing because you're safe. You start singing because you know your song well. So go now, prophets. Go tell it. Go sing it. Go live it. And remember, the Spirit still moves through thunder. Sometimes the gospel still sounds like gravel and harmonica. Yeah, a hard rain is going to fall. But you know what? So will grace. Amen and amen.